Let's stand, all right, as we will be reading from Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. Quite a few verses. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. I'll read verse 19, you read verse 20, and so on until we finish at verse 31. Okay? Luke 16, verse 19, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fed sumptuously every day." Verse 20. "Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores." Verse 22. "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Verse 24.
"And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger into the water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place."
But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Verse 26. Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." Verse 31, let's read together. "And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Let's pray. Father, as we come to face to face with the reality, the spiritual reality, Lord, of this place, I'm asking you, Father, to open every heart. Father, firstly, open the heart of the believer as they realize a glimpse into a spiritual reality of this place called hell. That, Father, we will realize is a real place. But for one, Lord, who do not believe, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will help that person see the reality. Lord, hide me behind thy cross as I strive by your grace to expound on this awesome truth, the terrible truth of hell. That for us, Lord, for some of us, that you would speak to us in some way, that our life, our attitudes towards your work, towards our families, towards even our Christian lives would change. We thank you for what you're going to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Hell is not a feared topic today. A lot of people use the word hell like they use the word Jesus Christ as a swear word. They will say hot light, hell, not knowing that it is actually true. They would say, "What the hell?" thinking that it is a curse and you can use it freely. People swear using hell, and they may call certain things like bad things on earth, like I'm experiencing what? Hell on earth. Bad things that may happen. There are some people, especially some cults, some even Christian groups have done away with hell, such as the Jehovah's Witnesses, who don't believe in hell. They don't believe that God can send anyone to hell because he's such a God of love. They believe that hell is nothing but the grave. There are some Christian groups who don't even believe hell today. They don't believe that. I have heard independent Baptist Christians, young Christians, ask this question: how can a God of love send anyone to hell? In this passage, there will be some people that will say that, the passage that Luke 16, some people will say, "Oh, brother Johnny, that's just a parable. In many churches, in the U.S. and probably around the world, in Singapore, many pastors and many people, they've been taught that this is just a story. Story about spiritual realities. If I'm not wrong, it was Robert Schuller, one of the new evangelical preachers, who says, hell is a loss of self-esteem. When you don't feel good about yourself, that's hell. And God has come to restore your self-esteem. I think if you just want to restore self-esteem, Jesus didn't have to go through such excruciating death just to restore self-esteem. May I say that this is not a parable for several reasons. There are many reasons, but I'll give you mainly one. If you look at the parables in the Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ never used proper names. This is the only parable that Jesus used the name Lazarus and Abraham. But he did not name the rich man. The names of Lazarus and Abraham are used. I want you to bear two things in mind next time when you read the book of Luke 16, verse 19 to 31. You need to bear two things. Number one, who was the one who was telling this story? And to whom was he telling it to? The first thing about this story is, this story was preached by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Today there will be many people who will say the Lord Jesus Christ will only preach about love, and he will not preach about hell if he were here. Because God is a God of love. We need to expound the love of God. How many of you can look back, when was the last time you heard a message on hell in a church? When was the last time? Think about that for a while. Did you know that the Bible speaks more about hell than about heaven? For every 40 times the Bible speaks about hell, it only speaks one time about heaven. Did you know that? It's a serious thing. The Lord Jesus Christ preached about hell, and he was the greatest expositor about hell because he was the one who created hell. But not for us. Look at Matthew 25 and verse 41. Depart from me, ye cursed. It's not there, but depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was never intended for man. I say again, hell was never intended for man. But because man followed sin, he had to follow into hell. Many times today, people will preach only about love. He preached, and the Lord Jesus Christ preached about love too. In general, the trend of the Lord's teaching is this. Whenever he was preaching to someone whom life has been tough on, whenever Jesus was preaching to a group of people who were outcasts of society, whenever Jesus was preaching to a group of people who people don't really love them because of their sins, because they are lepers, the Lord Jesus would oftentimes preach his love and God's acceptance of these people. Example, Zacchaeus. All right, he was proud. He only wanted money. But you know what? Deep in his heart, probably there's a need. And that's why Jesus singled him out and reached him with his love. Does that make sense? In Luke chapter 19. Then there was a woman at the well. He was an adulterer. She had 5, 6, 7 men in her life. She didn't even know, but Jesus knew. Jesus reached her with his love in John chapter 4. There was a woman caught in adultery, remember, in John chapter 8. And all the religious leaders wanted to stone this lady to death. And what did Jesus say? He that had no sin, let him cast the first stone. And then later on, the Lord Jesus Christ told her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. In John chapter 8. However, the trend of Jesus preaching is this. When he preached to the religious crowd, those people who think they can make it to heaven, those people who think they can they know everything and they are good enough to go to heaven, he would preach hell to them. In one of the sharpest sermons that Jesus preached in Matthew 23, he actually called, some people have called the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day, the World Council of Churches in Jesus' days, and said, ye, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. How will ye escape the damnation of hell? The Pharisees knew what was right, but they were leading people astray. And they were proud of their own self. They were not coming to Christ. And in Matthew 23:33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? So who was the one preaching? The Lord Jesus Christ. But then, who was the one that Jesus was directing the story to? Look at Luke 16:15. The Lord Jesus was directing this parable story, this true story, not parable, true story, to a group of people. And I'm hoping whoever that's sitting now and listening have already surrendered their hearts in humility to Christ and deciding that in their lives, I can do nothing, I can do no good works to go to heaven. And I've humbly submitted myself, knowing I'm a sinner, and I've trusted Christ. But this story was preached to this group of people in verse 15. And he said unto them, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is lightly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. This story is for those who justify themselves and try to say, no, I'm good enough. You know, I don't have to, you know, I'm okay. Everything that happens to me is someone else's fault. I don't have to take the blame because I'm okay. I'm okay before God. These are the people who think they are decent and moral and they will never hurt anyone. And therefore, they think they can get to heaven by their good works. In Luke 16, I want to answer four questions which I've actually laid out here. Number one, why do people go to hell, firstly? And then, what is the nature of hell, the people in hell, and the escape from hell, from Luke 16? I hope we'll pay attention. Because my desire as pastor is that no one goes to hell who has been through the doors of Ambassador Baptist Church. And I get an amen from our church members. And I hope that every one of us will realize when you come through the doors of Ambassador Baptist Church, it is life in Jesus Christ. It is the joy and abundance of hope and life in Christ. But yet there will be still people, according to the scriptures, that can walk through any church, be there for a long time, and still die and go to hell. And I'm hoping that we would get a proper glimpse of it today. And I'm thinking, Lord, how should I present this? Because hell seems like a hot topic on a hot day. On a sunny day. But can I say I'll be preaching this from as much love as God can give me for someone who has never trusted Christ. Let's look at why people go to hell, thanks. Let's look at verse 19, 20, and 21. The Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, who fed sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus which lay at his gate full of sores. He only wanted to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. If you look at these verses, is there anything that we can say that's wrong about this man? No, he was rich. Is riches wrong? Is it wrong to be rich? No, it's not wrong to be rich, okay? He was rich. The Bible says he was clothed in purple and fine linen, soft, silky garment that's expensive. The Bible says he fed sumptuously every day. In other words, he was luxurious. Not like many Singaporeans today. Some of you who may want to plan a dinner or special for your parent, and sometimes you go to some of these restaurants, you can pay as much as $1,000 just for 2 hours of food. You know? And we fed many of us fed sumptuously every day. Sometimes you see on the Facebook all the sumptuous meals that have come. Okay, where's the best place to get food? You know, we fed sumptuously, luxuriously every day. This rich man fed sumptuously every day. The people of Jesus' day were fishermen, and many of them had to work hard. So this rich man was doing very well. Okay, he was rich. But some may say, I know what's wrong with this man. He only gave crumbs to the beggars. He only gave crumbs to this beggar. That's what's wrong with him. He's not very charitable. Actually, if you think about it, he allowed the people to put this. The Bible says his hands, the beggar's body was full of sores. Sores means that there's pus laden. You know pus? You know what's pus? It's filled with pus. Moreover, the dog came. All right? Moreover is not the name of the dog. Some people have used it as a joke. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. But the dog came to lick the sores. Pus is saltish. Got flavor. So the dogs will eat anything. You know, the dogs came to lick the sores. So the point is that the rich man was willing to allow Lazarus to stay at his door. Would you allow Would you today allow someone who is filled with sores every day allow people to put him at your doors? Would you allow that? And then also give him some crumbs. Apparently during the, and when he was laid at his gate, the word gate there means a place of artistry. In other words, his gate was very well, kind of like today they have this, what iron? Cast iron, right? So some very nice one, different colors, got sunflower, you know, one smiley face in the middle, that kind of thing, you know, very nice, right? Very. Would you allow a pus-laden beggar to be placed at your door? You know, you probably call town council, or someone will call the police. But apparently this rich man allowed it to happen, and he was not a very pretty sight. And to have a man feel a pus placed at your door, you can't say that he wasn't charitable. In fact, many people will say, based on his status, he was a very charitable man. He let this poor man come to his own. Never mind, come on. Nah, give him the crumbs. Give him whatever you have. So he was therefore, probably, honestly speaking, a charitable man. So what is wrong with this man? Why did he go to hell? Was it because he was rich? No. We have to be very clear why. There is only one reason anyone dies and goes to hell. No one goes to hell because he's a murderer. No one goes to hell because he's a drug addict. No one goes to hell because he's an alcoholic. People go to hell because they reject Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You reject Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This rich man had all the good stuff in life, and he treated people, well, according to the Bible, perhaps this, he was charitable, he cared for this man to a certain extent. But God says, you can justify yourself before men, but God knows your hearts. This man rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one reason. In John chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Do you realize that the moment you're born, you're condemned on your way to hell? Let it sink in. I don't care what background you're from. You may be from a millionaire's family or from the poorest in this world. The moment we are born into this world, we are on our way to the lake of fire because of our sin. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John chapter 3 and verse 36. People go to hell because they are sinners and they have sinned, and they rejected Christ as their Savior. That's why people go to hell. It's not because of his riches. Number two, I want you to notice the nature of hell. The nature of hell. The Bible says in Luke 16:23, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. The word torment means, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. So what torments literally means severe pain or continuous torture. Severe pain, continuous torture. I was watching this YouTube video of the ISIS. You know, they're trying to establish a Sharia law state. And there was one man who was caught stealing, and maybe some of you may have seen in how they were taken to open marketplace, and they will cry, Allah is great, and catch this man, and will chop off the hand. And of course the guy was like, kind of shivering in pain. But you know what? It's pain. Perhaps it will last a little while more. But it was a temporary one. Because after that, interestingly, they quickly bandaged the place. Which is okay. I mean, they try to care for the person after that judgment. But the Bible says this rich man was in continuous pain. I want you to notice a few things about the nature of hell. Verse 24, it was a place of fire. The Bible says, I'm tormented in these flames. I'm tormented in these flames. The hell and the place, the lake of fire, is a place of fire. It's a place of fire. In Matthew 3:12, whose fan is in his hand, he will truly purge his floor, and he will gather the wind into the garner. In other words, those who are righteous, he will keep, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Dear friend, hell is a place of fire, a place of continuous pain. There's continuous burning, but the individual is not burnt. There's continuous pain, burning, but the individual is not burnt. Right, Johnny, how is that possible? Remember the burning bush? When the bush is on fire, but the bush is not consumed, God is able to do that in hell. with the degree of pain. Number one is a place of fire. Number two is a place of punishment. The word tormented in the Bible here in Luke 16:24 is in what we call in the passive sense. It means something done to that person. For example, in Singapore, there are rules. When you break a rule, the person will be arrested and dealt with according to the law. If you litter, you'll be thrown into prison. Something done to you. You have to pay you have to be punished. Something is done to you. When we die in our sin and go to a devil's hell, it is a place of punishment. You know, sometimes we think as Christians, oh, they just go to hell forever. Dear friends, when you go to hell forever, it's not just that you go to hell forever, you'll be punished for your sin forever. Okay, because every sin, can I say this, every sin has to be punished. Are you listening? Are you listening? Teenagers and children, are you listening? Every sin has to be punished. Every single sin. Why? Because God is holy. And in His sight, you cannot get away with sin. And Christians, we need to understand this. That when we play with sin and think it's okay, and disobey God is okay, just realize this. God is so holy, He will not allow one speck of sin in His presence. So, sin has to be punished. There are people, even Christians, who reason in this manner, how can God of love send people to hell? No, God is God of love. He will never want anything painful for me. But you know what the Bible says? If a parent don't spank the children when they do wrong, it means that, listen, if you will never discipline your children, it means you hate your children. That's what the Bible says. Because you are not concerned about the future of your child when they grow up and they rebel and it's okay for you. No. But God says, deal with your child. Spank. If you don't deal with them, it means you hate your child. Mark it down, moms and dads. If you think you can, oh, never mind, everything my child wants, I give. You know what you're doing? You're training this child. Listen, you are training this child to go to hell. That you can do all you want and think it's okay. God doesn't do that. That's why God disciplines us as Christians. Hebrews chapter 12. It is a place of punishment. Hell is a place of punishment. Do you know why God is holy? He hates sin. And anyone who sins will need to be punished. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let me just read. God says He will render to every man according to his deeds. To them, but unto them they are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the just, of the Gentile. It's a place of fire, punishment, and number three, it's a place of physical suffering. It's a place of physical suffering. Some people believe that when a person dies and goes to hell, he no longer have a body. It's only his spirit in hell, he's just sleeping, soul sleep, the Seventh-day Adventists call it. You know, the Bible actually says in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know if this earthly house of this tabernacle will dissolve, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It seems from the scriptures that when we die and be with God, God will give us a temporary building until we are reconciled again with our physical body on earth as Christians. But I want you to notice this rich man. When we talk about his physical suffering, in Luke 16:23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. He had the sense of sight. Being in torments, he could feel. And seest, he has sight. Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, he had emotions. He cried. The word cried, literally, I don't want to shout because it will burst your eardrums. He cried. He had emotions. He said, he had speech. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in and cool my tongue. He had taste. He had taste. For I'm tormented in these flames. And Abraham said to him, he is hearing. He could hear what Abraham was saying. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things. Can you imagine a place of continuous torture and punishment, and it will never let up? It will never let up. It will never let up. And then it's a place of ever-present and everlasting suffering. The word tormented, verse 24, listen to the scriptures, is in the present tense. You know what it means? It means up to today, this rich man is still there. He is still there. He is ever-present. The punishment is everlasting. Everlasting. There are many Christian groups today who do away with this teaching and say God will not punish us forever, but will just destroy us. But you know what the Bible says? Let's look at Revelation 14, verse 10, 11. God's teaching on hell. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. Who worship the beast in his image receiveth the mark of his name. The Bible says the smoke of his torment ascended up forever and ever. They have no rest. There's no recess in hell. There is no time. Revelation 14, 10 and 11. There is no recess in hell. There is no break time in hell. There is no PSLE marking days in hell. There is no time that you have 4 days break in hell. There is no break. Night and day, the person will be tormented in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Can you imagine the screams of the people forever and ever and ever because of the everlasting punishment they are receiving because of sin? There are people today who say, no, I believe in whatever beliefs and say, I will go to reincarnation. I will come back again. Some people, I was speaking to a lady who was a Roman Catholic. And I asked her, you know, she seems to be a sensible lady. When I was knocking on the door, she was reading a book and sounds like quite, she's quite studious and probably quite informed about things. So I asked her, ma'am, if you were to die right now, where would you go? She said, well, probably I'll go to purgatory. Probably I'll go to purgatory and then after that I'll go to heaven. And then, ma'am, based on the authority of God's word, I mean, based on what God's word, I didn't say authority of God, based on God's word, you know, there's no such thing as purgatory because the Bible says, absent in the body, present with the Lord as a Christian. The Bible says, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed that man wants to die, after that there's judgment. Can I say this? Purgatory and reincarnation are lies from hell. People who think there's a second chance after life. Dear friends, there is no second chance after life. Satan invented that so that you will get there first and regret. And I'll show you from the scriptures why later on. Some people are saying, Brother Johnny, is there any opportunity for probation? Look at Luke 16, verse 24, 25. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Verse 25, notice the word but. Notice the word but. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and thou tormented. Notice verse 26, beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. There's a great gulf fixed. There's no such thing as a bridge from purgatory to heaven. If the church, an Ambassador Baptist Church, teach you that there is a second chance in hell, and if the Bible say the great gulf is fixed, who do you believe? You believe the Bible. You throw me out. But I'm telling you, Jesus said there's a great gulf fixed. There is no way you're going to get out when you get in without Jesus Christ. You know what this means to the rich man? You only have this lifetime to make your decision. I say again, do you know what is the significance of this? You only have this lifetime to make your decision. Are we listening? If your friend died, when I was doing my A-levels, and it was 2 weeks before the A-levels, I stayed quite close with another friend, and his name is William Ho. And one night, you know, it was rainy. I still remember about 8:45, 9 o'clock in the night. I was in my house alone. My mom was overseas working. My brother was in the army. I can't remember. And he was just about 8:45. He came to my house. And because he just stayed across the road, he came over. We studied in last time, you know, those ancient times when they had pre-U center, you know, in secondary schools. Do you remember? Huh? It was secondary school, like BT secondary school. You have a 3-year pre-U course. Now they kind of change everything. During that time, I was first year in BT secondary school, pre-U center. Then after that, I took my O-levels again. I went to St. Andrew's Junior College. But we were very good friends in our first year. And after that, we separated. During our third year, when he was doing his A-levels, I was doing my A-levels, he came and visited me. And he asked me how you were and all that. And about 9:15, I remember he said, "Johnny, I just come here to tell you that Jennifer, our classmate, was killed last week. She was same age as us, taking the A-levels. She was out with her boyfriend. About 4 a.m., motorcycle back from East Coast, got involved in an accident. And she was killed." You know, at that time when I remember, you know, this type of stories I tell you, I remember it vividly because at that time, the first thing that came to me, where did she go? Where did she go? As far as I know, she's not a Christian. You know where she is now? Do you know where she is now? She only had one chance. I remember when I was in the first year, I did try to share. She didn't receive. Or she was listening by the side, but she ignored. Dear friends, how young, how old you are, doesn't matter. You only have this life to decide whether or not you want to trust Christ. And this rich man found out too late when Abraham told him, "Between you and us, there is a great gulf fixed, which they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, they will come from thence." Can I say this? If you believe in reincarnation, when you end up in hell, you remember this message. Reincarnation is a teaching of the devil to trap millions of people. I may go to jail for this. But can I say this based on God's word? It's a lie. It's a lie. I respect the people who believe that. But the teaching itself is a lie. When God says there's a great gulf fixed, some people believe you'll come back better as a president. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. But you know what? The but here tells me one thing. No prayer. Remember, it's a place of everlasting and ever-present suffering in hell. No prayer of anyone in hell will ever be answered. Did you realize that? Do you realize that? It is permanent as a great conflict. Notice the type of people in hell. What is the nature of the people? Those people in hell, what according to the Bible will happen to their nature, the people they are? In verse 25, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime," number one, the rich man had memory in hell. And notice, memory of what? "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime." You remember your lifetime. You will remember. Notice when he lifted his eyes, the first thing he cried was, "Father Abraham." How did he recognize Abraham? Did he see him before? According to the scriptures, do you remember when Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter said, "Hey, it's Moses, Elijah." They never seen them. How did they know? Apparently, some supernatural knowledge that you have after this life. But you know, according to the scripture, the rich man could remember Father Abraham. You know why? Because to the Jews, it was committed the oracles of God. This man was a Jew. He knew the scriptures. He knew the Messiah. The rich man had memory in hell. He will remember this lifetime. He will also remember he rejected Christ. Memory must be a terrible thing in hell. Because when Abraham called this man, you know what Abraham called this man? What did he call him? Look at the Bible. What did Abraham call this man? He called him son. Son. You were supposed to be a son of Abraham, the father of faith. Why are you in that place? Because you rejected that faith. You see, Paul says, he's not a Jew, that's Jew outwardly. But it's what you believe in your heart. You can pretend and come to church on Sunday, you die and go to hell because God sees your heart. You don't have to prove anything to your pastor. You have to prove everything to God that you mean. You're the real deal. When Abraham called this man son, it was like a knife that went through him. Why? Because he was a Jew. And Jew, God gave the Old Testament. And the Bible doesn't say it, but he may have been sitting on the mountain when the Lord preached the Sermon on the Mount. We don't know. He may have seen how the Lord Jesus fed the 5,000 and 4,000. We don't know. Can you imagine if you are here today and this pudgy evangelist telling you how that there is a hell, and then you go to hell, and then God says, you remember Brother Johnny was preaching his heart out for you to realize that there is a hell? Can you imagine the memory of this person? Why didn't I receive at that time? Why? Why didn't I receive at that time? Why? And forever you will have that memory eating at you, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Mark chapter 9, verse 45. That's referring to the worms that gnaw at your memory forever and ever. There was someone who cared enough to bring some of you to church. Someone who cared enough to say, hey, won't you receive Christ as your Savior? And you said no. You know what that means? You have the word. But in hell, you have the memory that someone cared enough to tell you about Christ. I believe if you walk down the avenues of hell, you may find Judas Iscariot with his 30 pieces of silver saying, I betrayed innocent blood. I betrayed innocent blood. I betrayed innocent blood. The guilt of his torment will be with him forever. Maybe you'll see Pontius Pilate still trying to wash his hands. I killed innocent blood. You know, physical water is not going to wash against spiritual sin. It needs the blood of Christ. Perhaps you go to tracting, and probably one person who says, and God may say, did you remember that someone came and gave you a blue booklet to tell you about hell, to tell about heaven? Some of you are here. You are not a Christian, but someone loves you and cares for you enough to tell you there's a hell. Dear friend, if there's no hell, I'm wasting my life as a pastor. Why should I risk the careers of all my children? Why don't I just follow the world? Therapists are making $40,000 a month. I'm not comparing. You know why? Because there is a hell. And if you don't trust Christ, you go there. And you will remember this. The nature of people in hell, he will remember that he rejected Christ. This man will also have unfulfilled desires in hell. In Luke 16:24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He just wanted a bit of water. By the way, you know what he wanted Lazarus to do? Dip the tip of his finger. He's burning in hell. That's what, dip the tip of his finger and cool my tongue. For I'm tormented in his flames. This man is only asking for a little. In life, he was the rich man. In hell, he is the beggar. You know what? Do you realize in hell, you will still have desires? But you will never be fulfilled. Why? Because you're not where God wants it to be. He only wanted some form of relief. You know, when you're under punishment, you appeal, right, for some sort of relief in your mind, especially for those people who get caning. I think I was watching one criminal show whereby they say that those people who are caned, that those people who cane the person is so good that they will stretch you out, and they are so good. And this criminal lawyer was so interesting. He said, those people who cane you are very good because they practice every day. And they will cane the person's backside. They will cane here. The next stroke will be just underneath. The next stroke will be just underneath. You know why? Because he says when two strokes go in at the same time, your backside will burst and will bleed. But those people who cane will be... But you know what? The moment it hit and blood, the doctor has to stop and check the person. And when the person recovers, then he'll go back for his next round. There's some sort of relief. There is no relief in hell. There's no relief in hell. Is it too much just to ask for a drop of water? Is it too much? You know, all of... sayang, kila, kila, na. Na, na. Don't tell Christ, I'll give you some. You can't do that. There's no relief in hell. No, this man will also have anxiety in hell over his loved ones. Luke 16, verse 27, 28. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, when he realized that hell is his eternal address, he's not getting out. No, the first thing he does is, I pray thee therefore, Father. Can I say this? I believe there are prayer meetings in hell today. There are prayer meetings in hell today. See, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would send Lazarus back because I have five brethren. He may testify to them. Why all of a sudden he's so interested in this place? Why all of a sudden? Because he knows he's not getting out. There are many people today who think hell is a joke. We laugh at hell. But when we get there, you won't be laughing at hell. You'll be begging God, can you please, never mind, I am here, please do something. You know who's the worst one? When fathers, you do not lead your children and your wife to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you yourself go to heaven, you will have the memory of yourself sending your family to hell because of your lack of influence, your lack of the love of God in your life for your families. That your career is so important to you. Your own iPad games are so important to you. Your own money is so important. You will live your own life and let your loved one go to hell. This man cried, Father, please let Lazarus go back and so that he can tell my brothers. You know why people go to hell today sometimes? Because of unconcern about God's people. You say you're a Christian. You cannot be a Christian when you can let someone go to hell. Because you never knew what God brought you out from in the first place. This man says, oh no, this is my eternal address. You mean I'm not getting out? Father Abraham, please send Lazarus back. Send Lazarus, let him tell my five brethren. You know, it could be that he may have started to think, oh no, the way I lived, my other children, my other brothers are living the same way. They're going to come here too. Please, Father Abraham, do something. Do something. Stinger of day, the judgment will come and his brothers will point his finger at him. Elder brother, this is the way you live. Look what's happened to me now. His anxiety will never be overcome. Can you imagine not only your life of rejection of Christ, that your life have led some of those people into hell, and their blood will be on your hands for all eternity. What's the nature of the man again? This man, you know, will be the same in hell. Will be the same. Do you think it's possible for people to change when they get to hell? Can they change? No, the Bible actually says as Christians, when we die, what happens to us? When we die, or when we go to heaven, we get a new body, right? We get a perfect nature of Christ, right? Why? Because we've allowed God, the Holy Spirit, to change us as we grow. What happens? The Bible is strangely silent about these people. You know what happens to them in hell? They will be the same in hell as well. The Bible says in Luke 16:29, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Abraham said, look, they have the Bible, right? The Old Testament. You want your brethren to be saved? Can. Let them hear the Bible. Let them hear the Bible. You know what he says? What was his response? No, Father Abraham. No. No, that won't work. You can preach to them till the cows come home. They're not going to receive. But you know what? If Lazarus raised from the dead, they will receive. You know, in life, he was a rejecter of the Word of God. In death, there will be no change. No. No. To the Word of God. Remember, this rich man justified himself before men. He thought good works were good enough to get into heaven. He begged Abraham to let Lazarus to go and tell his brothers. Abraham said, they have the Bible, which points to Jesus Christ. This man said no. An unbeliever in life, he will still be an unbeliever in death. You know why? There is no conviction of sin in hell. And there's no conviction of sin, there is no salvation in hell. And you'll be there the same way. But you know what? Your conscience is that punishment that God allows for the rest of eternity. How do we escape finally? You know, as I prepare this message, Lord, how do I show your love in this? Can I say this? The fact that Jesus preached on hell shows he loves us. Are you listening? The fact that Jesus preached on hell shows he loves us. You know how I know that? When you have a man or a lady who knows that if you make a decision and it's going to harm you, and he warns you, please don't go down that track. If you decide this way, you're going to have consequences. You know? What would you say is the heart of this person? Say, you just want to throw cold water on all my tongue. You just don't want me to have fun. Is that true? When parents say, hey, son, don't tell lies to your teachers if you haven't done, because otherwise it's not good for your character. And some would say, no, I don't care. What will happen to the reputation of this child? Can you see that when Jesus preached this, it's because of his great love? That's why I say when Jesus preached, he preached more about hell than about heaven. You know why? Firstly, he wanted to warn people. He doesn't want people to go there. He's not willing that any should perish. But you know why Jesus? You know why Jesus don't talk so much about heaven? He wants to make it a surprise. He wants to give us a big surprise when we go to heaven. How do we escape? The Bible says in Luke 16:29, this rich man is begging Abraham to send Lazarus back. Abraham tells the rich man that they already have what it needs to be saved. Do you realize you have what it needs to be a Christian and be on your way to heaven? The Bible says in the book of John chapter 5, verse 38-40, ye have not his word. You can read it from the printed page, okay? Ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think, the word thing means ye know, you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Jesus told the Jewish people, look, it's not that you don't have the word. You don't have God's word abiding in you. Oh yeah, you come to church, you flip the Bible, but the Bible doesn't come into your heart. That's why Jesus says, you can hear me preach till the cows come home. The word is always out there. It's not in your heart. That's why Jesus says here, ye have not my word abiding in you. God's word abiding in you. For whom he had sent, he believed not. Search the scriptures. You know what Jesus still pleads with us? If you are here, you're not a Christian. You know what Jesus is doing? He's not saying you better accept me. Otherwise, you're going to say, you know, he's not saying that. You know what he's saying? Please, search the scriptures. That's why he said John 5:39. You don't believe? Search the scriptures. You know what Jesus said? Be concerned for your eternal life. You know, I don't know about you, but it saddens me that people don't even care about what happens after they go, after they leave this world. You know, I've literally spoken to some people, si suan lo, die over already lah. No! A lot of people in China, Pastor So was saying, they don't, because of their atheism, they don't have no concept of life after death. So that's the swan. No, Jesus came that we might have life here and the life to come. The way out of hell is to do the direct opposite of this rich man in hell. Rather than saying no, we must say yes to the word of God. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that we will be saved. Some people say we need musicals, or we need... plays and different things. I'm not discounting those things, but you know what? The word of God must be presented. Otherwise, we cannot be genuinely saved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. By the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. In the end times, people will no longer endure sound doctrine. Some of us here wants to always have our way or prefer to sit down and discuss rather than listen and obey. Can I say this? In the past, when the preaching of the Word of God, people would just put up their hands and make a decision, they move on for Christ. Today, a lot of people say, explain fully to me. You know why? The human intellect may have blocked the Spirit of God trying to touch the heart. Some of you, I'm going to say something that's out of love. Some of you will die and go to a devil's hell simply because you reject what Jesus Christ taught here. And may I say, and putting Pastor Jacob's son's teaching in mind together, if you are a genuine Christian, if you trusted Christ, it's not about, oh yeah, I'm going to heaven, I can do what I want. No, it's moving on and thanking God in gratefulness for your salvation that you will keep on growing in Jesus Christ so that through your life, someone else might also find that saving knowledge. You know, many people are going to hell today. You know why? Because we are so concerned about ourselves. This rich man was concerned about his luxurious living every day. And now he fears for his four or five brethren that may never come to Christ. Now as we close, I know many of these things, may I be honest with you, I've preached this before. For those who started at Bethesda, this was the very first message I preached about hell. Because I want us to realize lives are at stake. When we come to Ambassador Baptist Church, it's not about playing games. Your spiritual life. Fathers, your entire, the eternity of your entire family is at stake if your family is not safe. Is that serious? Your boss said, if you go back to office today, your boss said your work is at stake. You better back up otherwise. What would you do? Oh, you tell your wife, sorry, this 6 months I have to really focus, otherwise I lose my job. I'm telling you from God's word, if your family is not safe, and your wife is not safe, and your husband is not safe, and your children is not safe, and you're absolutely, absolutely apathetic about that, Father's God holds you responsible. I'm saying this with all the compassion I can muster because some people will say, forget it, I'm just do what I want. Jesus Christ went to the cross so that we can escape this place. He wants to pay for our sins. Christians, are we concerned? Are you, as we close, are you a Christian? Are you saved from sin? If you are, praise God. But if you are not, can I say good works will not good works will never get you into heaven because we are condemned already. We're condemned already. What good works do you want to do? When you stand before the judge, you are already convicted. Hey, judge, I helped the poor woman cross the street about 60 times last year. But the judge said, oh, very good. But you still need to go to jail because of this. We're still saying, what good works are you talking about before the judge? Christian, if this rich man, Christians, I'll close. Do you know what this rich man will do if he comes back from hell? If he has a chance, do you know what this rich man will do? If he comes back from hell, if Abraham said, "Well, son, since you're pretty sincere, I give you another chance. I let you go back." You know what he will be doing? If he comes back from hell, he'll be a full-time evangelist, and he will be begging everyone, "Please, trust Christ." He will be banging, or he will beg people. Oh, people will think he's nuts, but he will be a preacher of the gospel. William Booth said this. When he was preaching the gospel, there was this man who looked at him and said, I don't believe this gospel you have. I don't believe what you say. But this man had the honesty to say, but if what you say is true, I don't care if the whole of England is filled with glass, I will crawl every inch to warn every man that there's this place. As we close, some of you here have never trusted Jesus as your Savior, children included. You can call me a liar, doesn't matter. Let God be true, and every man a liar.
God, if God's word says
there's a hell, and I hope you would make the right decision of putting faith in Christ if you're not a Christian. If you have family members and not saved, Christian, is it too much to ask that you have your own prayer meeting in your hearts and say, God, use me somehow. Help me to realize that my career is not important. My self-esteem is not important. So what if you have all your self-esteem and our loved one dies and go to hell? Oh, Brother Johnny, this is only what the pastors teach. If the Lord Jesus Christ is here, he will say the same thing. Why did he have to go to the cross and die such a terrible death? If there is no hell. Christians, as we close, can I beg of you to consider what I've said? And if you're not a Christian, what you think might be the very obstacle to block you from heaven. You know why? Jesus says, if you reject me and receive not my words, you have one that judge you. The words that I've spoken, the same will be your judge in the last day. When you stand before God, you know what God may do? I don't know. You know what God may do? God may play a video of Sunday service, 19th of October, 2014, and show the preaching of hell and the pleading of someone, please come to Jesus Christ. And Christians, if there's only one mission in your life, may it be the winning of your loved ones to Jesus Christ.
Because I can tell you, your bank account will not matter in heaven. Your skills will not matter. It's your loved ones beside you.
And parents, if you do not present the word of God to your children, how are they going to find Christ? The church is supposed to help. God holds you responsible for others. Our job is to come up with programs to hopefully encourage people to do right. But the church is never to take the responsibility and role of the parents. As pastor, I have oversight to encourage and give as much as I can. But you know what? I can care for your soul. You need to care for your own loved one's soul. And mothers, I pray that you will support your husbands in that endeavor as well. Youth leaders, Sunday school teachers, anyone who is in this gospel world, remember, we want them to grow to be like Jesus Christ. But for some of them, it could just be like the death, the thief on the cross. It could just be a matter of life and death for them. And I pray that God will always keep an ambassador their heart for the love of souls. Because what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Let's pray. Lord, I know that many brethren come here from perhaps a long week of work. Perhaps family is tired and sick. But Father, many times, we let ourselves get in the way of what you want us to do. But yet, Lord, thy word is so clear today on hell. And Father, I will not be able to preach as well as the Lord Jesus. But Lord, based on the promise that you can use any instrument, I pray that you would have used me in some way to impress on the hearts of your people listening the reality of hell. And Father, I'm asking you to hold us over hell if we are safe, to understand the reality of your word. Lord, we may not fully understand the pain, but we have seen people in pain. God, help us to realize it will be a million times worse. Lord, I thank you, you're a God of love. I thank you, Lord, that you're a God who cares for us so much that you will tell it like it is. And your word teaches us that there is a reality of hell. If there's a heaven, then there's a hell. Lord, I pray that you would impress in our hearts the seriousness of this matter. Father, whatever that you are speaking to your people about, I pray that your will prevail. With eyes closed, heads bowed, may I just ask, in very simple terms, have the Lord spoken to you that in some way about your life? Is it about chasing our dream, or is it about giving to someone else some time that they might be saved? You know, God just asks of us some time that we have that we might share the salvation to someone who needs it. Is it possible that, say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. By God's grace, I'll make adjustments to my life that I might be able to reach some people I know need Christ, especially my own family. Is there someone who would say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that the reality of hell will always hover in my heart as I learn the love of Christ, the mercy of Christ, that if I do know God is love and there's a hell and sin is a terrible thing we need to preach against and save people from, may God use me. Is there someone who say, Brother Johnny, pray for your amen? I see the hand. Is there someone else? Amen. I see the hand.
Is there someone else? Oh, Christian, just have a heart.
Ask God for a heart and do all you can. God is not expecting you to convert your family. He says, say, have a heart that I might use you.
I think my mom is safe after so many years.
If God can do that in my family, He can do that in yours too. But He needs someone with a heart.
Is there someone else? Brother Johnny, pray for me. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Put it up, put it down.
And make that decision before God. Help me to have that heart for souls. Is there someone else? If you're here today, I'll just be very quick and then we'll finish. If you're here today, say, Brother Johnny, I didn't realize hell was that terrible. Can I say this? The Lord Jesus Christ did not die to save you from hell. He's died to save you from sin, because the wages of sin is hell. Does that make sense? You must see the two together. Because when you trust Christ as your Savior, you need to repent from your sin, because your sin brings you to hell. But if you would not repent, if you just say, I don't want to go to hell, it doesn't work. You have to give up what you believe. You have to give up what you think. You have to come and say, Jesus is God. And there is no other. It's putting away the false gods and receiving into your life the Lord Jesus, who can cleanse you from your sin and forgive your sins and take you to heaven. Is there someone who said, Brother Johnny, pray for me? I don't fully understand, but I know I've sinned in my life and it will lead me to hell. I'd like someone to show me from the Bible how I can be a Christian and trust Christ and have my sins forgiven. Is there someone like that? For your right hand, I'll pray for you. Right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time and for the many brethren that put up their hands. Oh God. Lord, if your word is true, Lord, then people are on their way to hell if they don't know Christ. And we know it's true, because thy word said so. I thank you for the many hands that have gone up. Oh God, I pray that from now on we no longer will be apathetic, Lord, to people who do not know Christ. Oh God, that we will not be apathetic, Lord, to the loved ones in our families that we see every day. And that Satan will try as to blind them. I pray, Father, that you would change our lives, that we might be more like Christ, that the light of Jesus may be in our lives. For those who came for the Sunday Bible Hour, Lord, who saw how Jim Elliot gave his all that someone might live. Yeah, he died, but through the death of these five young men, the entire tribe of the Yukas Indians got saved. And up to today, Lord, the salvation message is still being freely preached in that country. Lord, thank you for your gracious love. And I'm praying, Father, that every one of us will be a soul winner. Not to build a church alone, but because we love you and we want your love to be shown to the people around. Friends, visitors, even our neighbors, that God they may show, see the love of Christ, that we will realize every day pass by, Lord. Souls, they are so precious that we will give our all that some might know Christ. Please give us strength, Lord. It is so hard, especially in pressurizing Singapore. There's so many things to consider, but help us not to consider the pressure, but more the pleasure of knowing, Lord, someone is on their way to heaven because of our efforts. Oh God, help us to have spiritual reality in front of our eyes, more than what it will cost us. Because the moment we think of the cost, many of us will not want to do the job. Father, help us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I pray, Father, that this will be the guiding principle in our life, that for the sake of the souls of our loved ones, our friends, and the people out there, we will be willing to go the extra mile. We will be willing to despise the pain. We will be willing to despise the cost and say, never mind, money I can still earn. There will be a time for me to rest. But right now, someone needs Christ. Help us, Lord, to always put you and your work first. We thank you for what you're going to do. I pray if there's one person who do not know Jesus as their Savior today, I pray, Lord, this message will not go to waste on that person's life. That it would bear fruit somehow in time to come. I pray that every individual who hears this message will carry, Lord, this love. We may not be able to decide for these people to be in heaven, to trust Christ, but we can certainly carry the light so that they can at least see where they need to turn to when they need Christ. Oh God, may every ambassador be a light that will point to Christ. May every visitor and friend who has visited us for times, that their lives will be lights to point someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Time is short, Lord. You're coming soon. Help us to win this people. And may we not have the regret of the rich man. May we not look back and regret that we have influenced our five brothers for wrong. I pray in this life, give us, Lord, opportunity. And we thank you for what you're going to do. As you sing a closing hymn to anchor these thoughts, I pray, Lord, at whatever level of faith we are at, make us soul winners for Jesus Christ. May our lives be enriched. May our character be changed. May our attitudes be transformed into the likeness of Christ. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.